Dear brothers and sisters, when people think of wisdom, sometimes it's limited to something only needed for studying or work. But wisdom is needed in many areas of our lives, whether mediating between people who are at odds, resolving an urgent problem, or doing the work of God. If there is a wise person, time and resources can be saved, and even difficult matters can be resolved well. And simple issues at home can also be solved if you had wisdom. For me personally, I would cook, and there are times where I would need to defrost certain items from the freezer. There'll be times where I need to chop and dice or boil. So when we listen to the sermons on wisdom from above, don't just think of it as it only being applied to one certain area. If you can utilize this service, this sermon of wisdom from above, to all areas of your life, then you can become more wisdom. For example, when parents raise their children to become very dependent on them, then the child will not become as wise. They won't know how to do things for themselves. Sometimes you may think that as you grew up, you didn't receive love yourself. And when you become an adult and a parent yourself, you end up showing and giving too much love to your child because you didn't receive it when you grew up. So you wanted to do the best you can and give the best you can to your child, but it's not always beneficial to do something over the top, as it can be detrimental in the future. So it's really important to utilize wisdom and continuously look back over yourself. So if we receive the wisdom that God gives, we can bear abundant fruit in saving souls and in many other areas. We heard as well. And not everyone evangelizes the same way. Not everyone will evangelize the same way. So it's important to utilize the information that you hear and apply it to yourself. So when the truth becomes settled in your heart, then the Holy Spirit can help you move and work. I hope that you will all long for the wisdom from above and cultivate the attributes of truth. Last week focused on the first characteristic of being reasonable. Today we'll look at the second and third characteristic. Second, another characteristic of reasonableness is contentment. Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Both of having abundance and suffering need, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Like the passage teaches, when you have attained a heart of reasonableness, you remain at peace. Your heart is not shaken when everything is prosperous and going well, and not shaken when in difficult circumstances. And this can be attained through a heart of reasonableness. It is not just through reasonableness that you can attain this heart. It's also through faith that you can receive contentment. So you'll realize that different sermons, they interlink with each other, and that different characteristics, they link to each other. God's word is not all separate. You don't have to memorize everything in singularity. But it all interconnects so that when you learn from one gospel you can apply it to the other part of the gospel. And that way, whatever it is that happens in your life, whether it's difficult or not difficult, you don't shake, you don't stumble. And how at peace, how firm will your life be when you don't stumble? In everyone's lives, there's going to be difficulties. But as Christians who believe in God, who believe in the Lord, we can receive strength to overcome any and all difficulties. When we rely on God, everything can be solved. So instead of becoming discouraged and complaining why life is so hard or why life is so difficult, you're able to endure with thanksgiving and joy. This is because the grace of God abiding in your heart is greater than the difficulties faced. Some people openly display their frustration whenever things do not go according to plan or when they encounter difficult circumstances. Some people become anxious, their countenance changes, and even causes people nearby to become uneasy. If your partner or your family members become anxious or their countenance changes, or it causes people to become uneasy. It's like when a young child falls over and the parents, they don't worry, they just calmly say, "Don't worry, shake it off, get rid of the dust, the dirt, and just get back up." Then the child usually ends up becoming more calm. And when the child gets back up, the parent praises the child for being brave, and the child actually feels at peace. But if the child falls over and the parent becomes anxious themselves and panics, then usually the child also ends up crying a lot because of the parent's panic. As a couple between themselves, to be a good help, a good strength to each other. Instead of fighting as a couple, giving each other compliments and strength. If say your partner was on the verge of losing business or becoming laid off, instead of becoming more negative, that would lead to both of you becoming panicky and anxious. It would be good if someone was positive and had hope. So when you see other people, when you see movies, or when you see examples of couples or families being negative or positive, it'll be good for you to think about how you are acting in your family. And if you are negative, if you are anxious and panicky, then you're not relying on God. And when you don't rely on God, your life ends up becoming more difficult. But when you rely on God, you can find what's wrong. You can turn back. You can become transformed and solve the difficulties. Some people pour out complaints and dissatisfaction, blaming and criticizing others because things have not turned out the way they wanted. But this never solves the problem. Neither can these people experience the work of God. Instead, they even lose the hearts of those nearby. But if you have accomplished a heart of reasonableness, then you won't lose composure even when faced with difficult circumstances. Rather than becoming flustered, alarmed, or sorrowful, you'll quietly discern the will of God. You're able to remain at peace because the grace received from God abounds within, and you're confident of God's love. Then you choose and do the very best you can in that situation. Apostle Paul performed great works of power and preached the gospel, yet also endured countless persecutions and sufferings. No matter how severely he was persecuted, Apostle Paul never lost heart by thinking why he should suffer when doing God's work or worrying about how people thought of him. Even when Apostle Paul was beaten and publicly humiliated before many people, or went hungry and was deprived of sleep, his heart remained at peace. This was because the grace of salvation that had delivered him, who had once persecuted the name of the Lord, was exceedingly great. As the hope of heaven filled his heart, he was not crushed by the hardships of this present life. On one occasion, after casting out a demon through the power of God, Apostle Paul was severely beaten and thrown into prison. Even then, he didn't become distressed, asking why God hadn't protected him and allowed this to happen, nor did he anxiously pray, asking God to release him quickly. He quietly accepted the situation and waited for the work of God. As Apostle Paul remembered the grace of God, he sang praises means going above and beyond actually singing praises. It's Apostle Paul singing praises from the bottom of his heart, overflowing with great thanks and happiness. It's a song of thanksgiving echo through the darkness in a prison in the middle of the night, a beautiful fragrance before God. Psalm 50 verse 23, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright I shall show the salvation of God." As God was pleased to receive that sacrifice of praise, an amazing work took place. An earthquake occurred, the prison doors were opened, the jailer and all his household came to receive the Lord. Through Man Min's overseas crusades, we have been able to gain great faith. And when you look at the overseas crusades or the events that occurred in the overseas crusades, we can see what kind of actions, what kind of faith God is pleased by. And all of this experience should become your own experience. It needs to be applied to your own life. Don't just consider overseas crusades as overseas crusades and think your own life is different. You need to apply all the faith, the experiences, the events that occurred at the overseas crusades, how Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee relied on God and expected all to go well. All this faith needs to be applied to your own life as well. Whether it's a minor or major issue is not a problem. All of it needs to be given to God. If we look at the overseas crusades led by Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee, there were many occasions when unexpected obstacles arose. But whenever he trusted God under every circumstance and calmly did what he ought to, God always opened the way. During the Pakistan crusade, there was a terrorist threat, and just before the crusade began, the venue was suddenly sealed off as Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee, the church had prepared everything. Everything was ready, but Pakistan's officials ended up closing the crusade, or sealed it off, and Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee had the assurance that God would accomplish the crusade and made the confession saying, "When the appointed time comes, the crusade will proceed." Then he entrusted everything completely to God and waited in peace. That when the time comes, at this certain time, the crusade will start. And Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee, he wasn't anxious. He didn't panic, thinking what would happen, what should be next, what needs to be done. No, he just rested on the couch, on the sofa, and even took a little bit of a nap. That's how at peace he was. And how is this possible? It's because Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee gave everything to God. put everything in God's hands. And as you all know, as many have witnessed, the tightly closed iron gates were and through this, many church members were able to receive faith and gain faith. Of course, you can rely on God, but having that anxiety or that doubt in your heart is not fully relying on God. It's not fully having faith in God. When that happens, you need to get rid of the doubts. You need to get rid of the anxiety. At the Honduras Crusade, as the crusade started, this crusade starting time approached, a heavy rain began to pour down. There seemed to be no sign of stopping. Yet, trusting in God, Pastor Meredith Jarrett-Lee went up to the altar, and the torrential rain scattered like mist. And why it rained was that when we saw the news regarding Honduras, we realized that before our crusade, before we ended up going to Honduras, there was a big problem in Honduras where there are so many mosquitoes, but killer mosquitoes, that when you were bit by the mosquitoes, it could lead to death. But through the heavy rain before the crusade, all of these insects and flying insects like mosquitoes all perished. There was no sign of them because of the rain. But when Pastor Meredith Jarrett-Lee went up to the altar, the rain scattered like mist. And of course, the mission team kept praying in their hearts for the rain to stop. And it didn't rain heavily from the beginning. And even more dramatic was what took place in the India Crusade. It also rained. And it didn't rain from the beginning. It started to rain in India, but then as Pastor Meredith Jarrett-Lee prayed for the sick, the rain started falling down more heavier. And Senior Pastor and Pastor Meredith Jarrett-Lee, even though it was raining, still delivered the message, even though there was a strong wind, even though there was a rain. But the problem was that if it rained, you would think that the people in attendance would leave. And the more it rained, especially during the prayer for the sick, you would assume that the people in attendance would leave. But through faith, Pastor and Meredith Jarrett-Lee did not stubbornly insist before God that things had to happen exactly as desired. Instead, remembering how God had always been with them, he longed to see how God would receive glory on that occasion and faithfully did what he ought to as his duty. Being unshaken and at peace does not mean being careless or lacking a sense of urgency. Rather, with a solemn resolve to lay down your life, a person seeks the grace of God and does everything possible to find the best course of action. And even though we didn't realize it at the time, there was a reason why it rained at the India Crusade. It was God's blessing that no one could have imagined. Ordinarily, it would seem better if it didn't rain during a crusade, but the situation in India was different. The region had been suffering from a severe drought. So when the rain poured, it was actually a blessing to the local people. In that region, they kept asking neighboring regions for water, but even the neighboring regions would not give the people water because they also didn't have much left. But when Pastor Meredith Jarrett-Lee arrived in India, it rained. And we can see on the screen that due to the drought in India, it was a severe problem. And Pastor Meredith J. Lee, when he arrived in India, you would think that due to the rain, that the people who were waiting at the airport to welcome Pastor Meredith Lee, that they'd leave due to the rain. But they didn't. They were actually running with the car. They were happy standing in the rain. And we realized that it was because they were in a severe drought. They wanted rain, but there was no rain. And as rain happened from the time Pastor Meredith Gerard Lee arrived, it was raining. Pastor Meredith Gerard Lee boldly proclaimed the message and prayed with all his strength. But those in attendance were so happy, even if it rained. And there were also people watching on TV. A lot of people were watching on TV. And they were also deeply moved that even though it was raining, this overseas international preacher all the way from Korea kept preaching the message and praying for the people. And this action greatly moved the people who were watching on TV. Just kept coming up onto the stage to give their testimonies. And in the end, it was that pouring rain which enabled the crusade to become the largest, most well-attended. And due to the rain, we'd go back to our hotels and realize that the color of the material was actually stained on our skin due to the rain. So it's important to know and realize that Pastor Meredith Gerard Lee, as the speaker, relied on God only, and that enabled the crusade to become the largest crusade. Romans 8 verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Faith is not expecting God to work according to the way you want. If you truly believe, you must rely on God in all things and discern His will. Then within His will, you must find the path you are to take and walk it by faith. When you are content in every circumstance with a heart of reasonableness and continue pursuing what is good, the Holy Spirit will always illuminate the way. Then you're able to discern whether it's God's will to move forward now or whether you should step back for a time and then proceed again. This is the wisdom that enables you to experience the work of God, who walks with you even through the valley of the shadow of death. Third, when this heart of reasonableness grows even deeper, you not only obey the word of God, but do more than what is required. For example, before leaving the house, parents may give instructions to their oldest child to take good care of younger siblings and to finish homework. When the parents return, they find that the oldest has done more than just homework. After finishing homework, the oldest could have gone out to play, but instead helped the younger siblings wash up and, though clumsily, even tidied the house. The oldest considered the parents' heart and did more than what had been asked. When parents see this kind of behavior, they're delighted and pleased. Though the oldest is only a child, parents consider the oldest trustworthy and dependable. If you have accomplished a heart of reasonableness, you obey God's word exactly because you love God. Under the clear inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you discern what is better in every situation and practices goodness on a deeper level. Even if God commands you to do one thing, you act in harmony with God's heart, doing two, three, or even more than what was asked. When Father God sees these kinds of children, He says, He is a man after my own heart and delights exceedingly. As you live your Christian life, you will often have opportunities to choose between one course of action and another. Of course, this refers to situations where neither choice is contrary to the truth. If one choice is the truth and the other is untruth, then of course you must choose the truth. Once you have reached the third level of faith, you will not choose to practice lawlessness simply because it benefits you. When both choices are within the truth, most people naturally choose the one they prefer. But when you have fully accomplished a heart of reasonableness, you don't choose what you desire. Rather, you choose what brings greater glory to God. It's important for you to look back on yourself. There are two choices, and neither of it is untruth. They're both truth. But let's say one side or one choice requires a bit more sacrifice, a bit more servitude. And perhaps it's a job where you don't receive recognition. And perhaps these are the areas where God will be more pleased about with the heart of reasonableness. You consider which choice will be more pleasing to God instead. And Daniel was like that. When Daniel was still a young man, the kingdom of Judah sinned against God and was invaded by foreign nations. At the time, Daniel and his friends were taken captive to Babylon, but they were brought into the king's palace and given the king's choice food. But some of this food could have included what God had forbidden as detestable. So Daniel and his three friends made a special request to the commander of the officials to not eat the king's choice food or drink his wine, but to be only given vegetables and water. The commander of the officials feared that if he allowed them to eat only vegetables and they appeared less healthy than the other young men, the king would hold him accountable. So Daniel and his friends proposed that they be tested for 10 days. When the 10 days of eating only vegetables had passed, something remarkable happened. Daniel and his friends, who had only eaten vegetables, appeared healthier and better looking than all the young men who had been eating the king's choice food. If you had been in Daniel's situation, what would you have done? As captives, they were hardly in a position to complain about the food given, especially since they were not told to eat poor food, but rich food from the king's table. Though some of it could have included foods that were detestable according to God's law, not everything served would have been defiled. If they insisted on eating different food, they could have incurred the displeasure of the commander of the officials and perhaps even the king's wrath. Like the other young men who had been taken captive with them, they could have easily have thought the situation was untenable and simply eaten the food. Other people captive also heard the law of God, but they ate well still, despite that. And through this, the king wanted these captives who had received training and had knowledge to become immersed with the Babylon culture so that they could serve Babylon well. Yet Daniel and his friends willingly declined the king's fine food. And God was greatly pleased with their hearts as they sought to choose what was more pleasing before God in every situation. And Daniel and his friends only had God in their hearts. And God was so pleased. So God caused their appearance to be healthier and more handsome than that of the young men who freely ate the king's choice food. Daniel 1 verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Because they pleased God, He granted them wisdom from above, and through their outstanding knowledge, understanding, and spiritual insight, Daniel and his friends received great blessings. Though taken captive, they gained the favor of the king of a foreign nation and were elevated to positions of great authority. Even though we may think of the rewards given at the end, it's also important to think about the process, the progress in the middle, the difficult situations, the difficult decisions of only choosing God's will, God's way, and how overcoming these difficulties led to God's rewards and blessings. Choosing what is more pleasing before God in every circumstance is not easy. Even when you choose what is better before God, there are times when it seems to bring not blessing but trials. Still, rather than grumbling or complaining, you must have the resolve to endure it. This is possible only when you truly live in the truth and possess spiritual boldness. You must have unwavering confidence, saying, God is on my side. God is the Lord of my life. When you choose what is more pleasing before God with a gentle and reasonable heart, you will receive God's favor. But there's an important teaching point. Before Daniel and his friends could confidently make a request to the commander of the officials out of their absolute faith in God, it's important to consider what kind of lives they'd been living. From the commander's perspective, there was no obligation to grant the request. In fact, doing so could have put him in a difficult position. He could have easily dismissed them outright, but the reason he showed them special consideration was because God was at work, and because Daniel and his friends had conducted themselves in a manner worthy of trust and respect. Though taken captive to a foreign land, it's important to know that their expression, attitude, and conduct must have been gentle, kind, sincere, and lovable. Even though the commander had not seen or known Daniel and his friends for a long time, sometimes you'll see or find yourself in a situation where you can just tell that certain people are gentle, kind, sincere. It could be through their actions to other people, their countenance, their facial expression. And even in this small amount of time, Daniel and his three friends had shown the fragrance of Christ. So God worked and moved the commander's heart at the right time. When you demonstrate your faith before God, there may be times when you need the understanding and consideration of those around you. For example, you may earnestly desire to attend a church event, but your work schedule does not allow you to take leave or have a family commitment. Even in these situations, you must have been continually storing of goodness in your daily life. At work, you should always be diligent, earning the trust of others by faithfully carrying out your responsibilities in advance and making sure that your absence does not create difficulties for those around you. If you cannot be with your family at a certain time, you should act so that they know your heart is still with them. It's not faith to live as you please and say you'll follow faith when you want, asking others to understand. This kind of behavior comes from selfish desire. When you are free from selfish ambition, you will not insist only on what benefits you or what you want in the moment. Instead, you will have a generous heart and a broader perspective. You will choose what is more pleasing before God, bring Him joy and delight, and win the hearts of those around you. Only when you conduct yourself blamelessly before others can God work without giving Satan grounds for accusation. Dear brothers and sisters, Today we looked at reasonableness. We learned that reasonableness is the fragrance of a good and beautiful heart manifested through the good fruit of one's words and deeds. We also looked at its characteristics. First, it brings peace to another person's heart and enables them to discern by the truth in every situation without being shaken. Second, it's characterized by contentment. When you have accomplished this heart of reasonableness, you don't lose your composure even in unexpected difficulties, but quietly seeks the will of God and faithfully does what you ought to do. Third, as the heart of reasonableness grows deeper, you obey the word of God and does more than what is required. In every situation, you ask yourself, what is more pleasing to God? As you live accordingly, whether you eat or drink, you're able to do all for the glory of God. How could God not love and give you good things? God fills you with wisdom from above and receives great glory through you. I pray that you will also live with God and His truth at the center of everything you do. May you live a blessed life and walk together with the Lord.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. may you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.